So let's go to our fun Thursday feature. Tell me about your thesis. I'm joined in studio by Toiroa Williams. Hey there, Toiroa.
Hey, mate. How's it going?
Good. Nice to meet you. What a pleasure to have you here in the flesh. Jeez. So you got quite an interesting story. I don't have too much detail on your thesis, so can you tell me a bit about that?
Sure thing. Well, the title of the thesis is Tuake Ngā Uri o Muriwai, Understanding Key Features That Lead to the Success of Rangatahi Māori from Opotiki, which is where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a Master of Arts in Māori Development at AUT University. And I wanted to look at understanding my town, but because I've been away for about, I must have been 3 years now, living away from Opotiki, it was a good example to get me back there, like a reason to go home and look at my peers. So I looked at basically what makes successful youth, because if, on the flip side to that, Opotiki is not really known for anything good in the news these days. I mean, it's a lot. It's a impoverished community. Mm. It's got a lot of stigma attached to it. But you don't get to see the shining lights, or in my case, the super heroes that come out of our town. So that's what I wanted to highlight.
Are they unusually successful, the rangatahi from your town, or are they just like any other town and you just chose to look at the successful ones and what made them different?
No, they're unique. Opotiki is unique. It's a coastal town. It's a haven for agriculture, horticulture. So the main industries are all based around that, you know, logging and everything.
Bit of fishing?
Bit of fishing, bro, definitely, yeah. Hinakis in those rivers and all the eels when you smoke them out on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to go for a fish this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
But what I wanted to highlight was the unique ones, like Marnia Campbell, who is actually a surgical doctor now, and she's actually getting her registration down in Rotorua. Afina Kure, who is actually a young teen mother who was destined for the army to protect our country. Now she's actually looking after the health and well-being of our people in Opotiki, you know, her people older than her, teaching them how to eat well and be better, you know, just general, be better around it in themselves.
Yeah.
James Rolleston, the actor from, you know, the very famous Boy, and how he came to be that smile that everyone loves through their TV screens. So those unique stories there, how come they're successful? Because everything was sort of stacked up against them, you know. It was a lot harder, I think, more challenging coming from a small, impoverished community.
Were you hoping to find something that all these people had in common, or was each story unique and was that okay too?
Yeah, well, look here, the thing about when you go in with research and you're asking questions that are open-ended, I didn't know that you'd come back and get all different types of answers. You're going to collaborate it into this thesis. And funny you say that, I was going to present the thesis back, you know, probably 60-odd thousand words to my community and say, this is what makes a successful youth. Next thing you know, I asked them, you know, what would you think about reading this 60,000-word thesis? And my mates were, oh, probably not, bro. That's too many words. So I thought about, why not make a documentary on it and film them 30 minutes? Would you watch yourself presenting it? And actually, it was a, you know, uproar of a response. So, yeah, I'll probably watch it, sit down and, you know, see these individual stories.
Yeah.
And actually, they all tie into together. But I didn't know that at the time. But they all talk about similar attributes that help them become successful.
Such as?
Well, I actually developed Mason Jury, Dr. Mason Jury's model, which is called Te Whare Tapawha. It speaks of four pillars. And it's a health model, right? But it's universal in its application, which means you can apply it to anything. In my case, I wanted to apply it to what makes successful youth. And the four pillars are taha whānau, taha wairua, taha hingingaro, and taha tinana, which is your family for whānau, your mental well-being for hingingaro, your spiritual well-being in wairua, and your tinana, which is your physical well-being. So if you make sure all four pillars of those are sort of healthy and intact, you're probably going to do well in whatever you do.
Mm.
If one of them is missing, it's a lot more challenging, right down to if you only have one of those pillars that are strong and the rest are empty, you know, you don't have your physical well-being or your mental well-being, it's going to be a lot more challenging. So I had those there as my sort of backing. Then I went into this research, and I actually, look, Opotiki is a small town, 4,000 people in the area, maybe 10,000 in the district. It's high poverty, but it's also got a high population of Māori. 60%, over 60% of Māori. So youth, it's the highest youth population in the country per capita, and a majority of them are Māori. So I wanted to look at what makes them successful. And then I actually developed another four four elements to that Te Whare Tapa Whā, which created this cogged wheel, which is eight. And the areas I looked at that were more interesting when they gave me the answers were whakatipuranga, the upbringing, how were they brought up? Is it in a very Christian household, in a very Māori household? So that environment they were brought up in, which leads into that next bit of hapuri, community. What type of environment are they being brought up in? Are they in Beverly Hills in Los Angeles, or are they in a small fishing town in Opotiki? Because that was going to dictate, you know, how they become an adult. Then I also had the pūmanawa aspect, their natural talents. You know, we're all born with, you know, that cheeky smile or that good singing voice or natural-born leaders. So how are we moulding or supporting that pūmanawa, that natural talent? And, of course, te reo mionga tikanga, the customs of Māoridom. It's quite strong within Opotiki, but if you come to a place like Auckland where it's very diverse, multicultural, how does that te reo mionga tikanga keep itself alive within these people? Because they're the ones who have told me, if it wasn't for my reo, Mania speaks about it, she moved from Opotiki to come to medical school up here in Auckland, and she was beside herself. It was different, it was foreign. She didn't have reo being spoken around her every day, and she wanted to go home weekly, you know. So how did she adapt it? How did she keep that reo alive to support her and make herself successful?
And so are you hoping, just as you borrowed from Mason Jury's analysis, that other people might be able to use this structure that you've created in the future to analyse rangatahi and Māori success?
I hope so, bro, because I think it's, you know, as Mason Jury's model is universal in its application, I think this is as well, because a small community like Kawerau, you know, built around the mill. It was a booming metropolis. It was bustling back in, you know, the 80s, and nowadays it's quite impoverished and it needs a helping hand. So putting these, so that holistic view on top of this, you could look into it and understand what sections need resources, what sections need support. Maybe whānau's really doing really well, but it's actually their spiritual section which needs to be picked up. So how do we support them in doing that?
Okay.
And it's just giving that view.
Things have worked out well for you because you completed your thesis and then you got a nice surprise. You got an internship out of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I straight out of Portsea College. I did my 5 years there and then I went straight into university after that. Came up to AUT and studied my Bachelor of Communications and then did my Master's. So I didn't really actually have a real job, you know, until I finished my Master's and I applied for this. My professors at the university are super supportive. Encouraged me to apply for the scholarship. And it's called the AET Interns Program. And I tell you, this program can change your life, because it has for me, mate. And it gave me the opportunity to go to Sundance Film Institute and study there for 3 months to learn from the All Blacks of the independent film world, right? And ideally, that's where I want to end up. I want to end up telling stories, informing communities through film, because film is a beautiful tool. Now, upon completing that, you know, it was my sort of first job, but I had to reduce my life to a suitcase, pack up and ship myself over to Los Angeles and live there.
I was going to say, I thought it would be Utah, but no.
Utah is where we hold the festival.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Sundance is it's a year-round institute. So although it's known for the prestigious film festival held every January in Utah in the snow, which is a gorgeous place, by the way, the nuts and bolts of it actually happen, you know, in the big industry, which is Hollywood, which is Los Angeles. They've got another office in New York and, of course, the Utah office.
Did you get a lot out of it?
Mate, I was over there just filling up my basket of knowledge. It was almost like a 12-month holiday. You know, when you really enjoy something, it's not work, right? Mm. And then when they pay you for it, it's even better. Sure, you know, you understand.
So what are you going to do with your life?
Well, I'm actually unemployed now, so if anyone wants to give me a job, that'd be great. No, look.
Filmmaker?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a few projects in the wraps at the moment. I'm actually working out my new move. My rugby club's kept in touch. I was playing footy over there. So there's all these new opportunities arising. And at the moment, I'm enjoying mum's cooking. I'm back in Opotiki living there now. I just came up to see you, mate, so you're welcome. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting time for me, and I'm enjoying the moment, but watch the space. You never know.
I'm so pleased you came up. What's happened to that film that you made?
Yeah, so it's called Opotiki's Sioux Peer Heroes, and I put emphasis on my peers because they're actually my friends back home doing well. And it's gone through like I gifted it to the Opotiki Council, and they were privileged to have it, and they told me that it will support a lot of applications through youth initiatives, helping their future youth initiatives, which supported applications down in Wellington. It's been going throughout Opotiki College, the school itself, used within rangatahi support networks and workshops and leadership programs. So it's in the place where I wanted it to be. I didn't want it to be a big blockbuster, this is the latest film. It was actually a direct link between me and my community and showing them themselves and how great, you know, it's a privilege to be from a small town like that. Actually, it's a benefit. And it's for me, I think I'm, you know, I'm proud of being from home, and I wave that little flag because that's my independence, that's my uniqueness. And it's to be from a small town like that, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Toidor Williams, who graduated with a Master's in Māori Development from AUT, has completed his internship at the Sundance Institute in Los Angeles, and now is awaiting your call.
Cheers, mate.
Because he's going to be a leader, whatever he does, and he may as well be part of your organisation. Thanks so much. Nice to chat to you.
Thanks for having me in today.
Lovely. That was a beautiful edition of Tell Me About Your Thesis.